Welcome to the Two Grumpy Men, C. Grooves and Bobby May on the check-in.
What it do?
What it do?
Check-in time for y'all after this little debate we just seen here. What we doing tonight, bro? We just going to go right in on this debate?
I think we should. I mean, ain't much happened, you know, since the last time we was on. But yeah, there's a couple of things, but let's go right in on the debate. I would say this. This is a very different experience than what I did last week, you know, when the presidential debate was on. That was pure comedy, you know, last week. You know, you had the geriatric candidates, 77-year-old, 74-year-old, just trading shots, talking over each other. You know, Biden called Trump a clown, told him to shut up. Trump didn't give a fuck, just kept talking, you know. I mean, they answered some questions, but they had no respect for the rules of debate, you know what I mean? Like, they was just up there. I don't even know what they was doing. They was still filibustering more Pence than Harris, but because he didn't give a fuck what the moderator said. I'm going to get my point across, and that's that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't give a fuck. And
I mean, she did it too. She took a point where she was like, "Nah, I gotta say what I gotta say to clarify that on my record. And you ain't gonna leave me. You ain't gonna say that fly shit, and I don't get nothing to say back to you." You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no doubt. So you know what he used? He used the wrong point. He used the marijuana shit. He brought up the whole, you know, black men, you know, being disproportionately locked up, but he should have really went with that angle if he was going to try to bring out her record. Other than that, like, she just did her job. You know what I mean? But if you would have hung his hat on, nah, you locked up, you know, black men at a disproportionate rate and you held evidence that could have freed innocent men, if he would have went that way, then it wouldn't have been no rebuttal. But, you know, she had a right to come back and try to defend her record. But, you know, when you look at her record, this is the same thing that is going to be a reoccurring event, just like when she was running for president. And I forgot the young lady. I don't know if it was Gabbard that brought up her record, and she tore out the frame. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting here, you know, watching it with the wife and everything, and she's, you know, she's going. I said, "Yo, this sounds like she about to cry or something. Like, what's up with her voice?" She was like, "Nah,
yeah,
you know,
like,
it ain't that."
You know, she's misty-eyed and shit.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me, you know. So I was like, "Yo," but then there was points where she wasn't like that. It was like she was strong in her words, but you wasn't answering the question. And you know, Pence answered more questions than her. They both was filibustering. But it was like, y'all not really trying to answer the questions. And near the end, with the whole racial injustice thing, shit got tight. They was talking through their teeth. They was fucking, the makeup or whatever they was using, you know, it like dried up on their face. Their face got firm. Like, oh, y'all real tight lip here. Hold up now. You talking about racial injustice. I don't know, man. That's just what I saw, bro. Talk to me, man. What did you see, man?
Oh man, I wanted to watch it because I wanted to actually see what was his angle going to be, and based on what I seen, you know, he kept it smooth. He tried to keep it calm. He showed that he was the opposite of Trump. He wasn't going to be loud, and you know, he wasn't going to be doing all the antics. He just kept doing. He did what he normally do. Stick to the script, and you know, I thought that he wouldn't be able to hold his own, but he, you know, he pretty much held his own. I mean, he came back at her with his shit. Now, as far as her, I mean, she had some good. She made her points, you know, and I think she was. I still feel like she's just not believable. You know, I don't feel like she's believable. I feel like that was my whole thing when I told you early in the year that if he picked her, that was going to be the problem. She doesn't seem believable. She's not believable to black people. She's not believable at all. Like, and you know, just like we were just about to say, she was in there looking like trying to get all emotional for black people and shit. It just didn't, you know. It just ain't buying. I just ain't buying it. It ain't working. This shit ain't, you know, it didn't feel heartfelt. You know what I'm saying? So at this point, you know, I looked at it tonight. I think it was, some people may say she won, but I wouldn't say that. I would say it was more pretty much even. I say it was 50-50. I didn't see no clear, you know, like difference between them. They both, you know, they try to keep it professional as possible. They, you know, they had remarks about their records that they wanted to clear up, and that was pretty much it, really. But like I said, you know, I just feel like it was 50-50. I felt like he didn't really, you know, he said some things, but he was just really piggybacking off of Trump shit. Don't seem like he really have his own thoughts. He made the comment into the fact that, you know, he blamed, that they firmly blame China and the WHO organization.
Right.
So I just, you know, it was like, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this shit is all reality TV show to me at this point. It's like, none of these motherfuckers is believable at this point to me.
But
go ahead and bring the guests on.
Yeah, I'm going to bring the guests on. Real quick, because I thought going into it, right, I had Harris heavily favored because of her intellect and she, you know, because
of, too.
You know what I mean? Because besides her intellect, she knows how to answer questions or deliver questions. But now,
she was an attorney.
This is what I'm saying. But then now, these are concrete, hard body questions. There's no ducking and dodging here. And they both was doing it. You know, I think I'm going to write, who got Dancing with the Stars? ABC? I'm going to write them. Them two need to be partners because they damn sure was dancing. You know, but let's bring the guests on.
What's going on, bro?
Hey, long time, you know what I'm saying? Ain't got to talk to y'all for a while, you know, on the airways. Man, that joint was, well.
Yeah, what?
You know me, I try to be balanced in my analysis.
Please give it up. Give it up for the people.
You know, the VP originally, as he started out, I think the amount of poise he showed early on mm-hmm. kind of got her off her game for a sec. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. he wasn't really, I don't know if she was preparing for a Trump or a President Trump-like attack.
Yeah.
But he didn't get that. You know what I'm saying? He came in pretty reserved in his approach. Mm-hmm. But as you saw her start to try to get, as she started getting into her bag in those areas that she, you say she got expertise in, mm-hmm. he started to make some of those critical debate mistakes, you know, talking yeah. over her, interrupting her, that type of thing. And he was starting to come across like, you know, a lot of us have been to school with those types of principals or been at work with those types of bosses that, you know, just rub us the wrong way because of how they treat people or how they, you know, kind of talk down to folks. Mm-hmm. With that air of authority type of thing. And that's kind of what I think from a stylistic approach, if I was going to say one over the other, because neither one of them really, I would say this, one came with more facts, mm-hmm. but in terms of the dance that you were talking about and answering direct questions that was put to them, neither one of them really came out answering, you know, directly. They did a lot of responding to each other, mm-hmm. and that's where you got a lot of those facts brought out. But if I had to go, I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. Once the fly flew on the head, right now that dude's trending, B.
Exactly.
That dude's trending, man. I mean, he got his own Twitter account. I don't know how many followers he up to right now, but I mean, that thing right now is killing social media. And
flies like so, shit.
Exactly. That was my first response. Flies like shit.
So any other time, I would probably say that debate was probably a push.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I just said that.
I mean, just giving it, you know, and trust me, this ain't no, you know, trust me, man. I mean, y'all know who I'm riding with. I ain't going to put that on the airwaves, but y'all mm-hmm. know because we know each other. Mm-hmm. But just pure analysis. You know, I'm a sports dude. You know what I'm saying? So fair is fair. You know what I'm saying? So I would say debate-wise, probably a push. Neither one of them won anybody over to their side that was, quote-unquote, undecided, I don't think, which at this stage, if you undecided, I don't know what you're looking for. But I don't think...
Looking for that check, brother.
Pulled, I need my 1,200. I don't think nobody was flipped. Nobody was flipped by this.
Yeah.
I think both positions are going to stand firm where they are. They both going to try and tout, you know, their side as a victory. There was no, you know, we've seen vice presidential debates where there was a clear, no doubt winner and loser.
Yes.
You know, Benson versus Quayle. I mean, Benson wiped the floor with old boy. So you didn't get that. You didn't get that type of activity tonight. But like I said, I think, you know, certain things I think are working against the incumbent. The fact that early voting numbers are ridiculously high compared to previous years. Some of it might be the coronavirus in terms of people not wanting to wait till November 3rd to stand in lines. But, mm-hmm. I mean, folks are showing up to the polls regardless of you know, the quote-unquote dangers of not being able to social distance, which, I mean, most of these lines I've seen, people have been either in masks or socially distancing. But, you know, like me and the Fryer are going to early vote in person. We ain't leaving it up to no ballot.
No doubt.
You know, we was on Minnie-Me's head about putting her paperwork in so that she could vote early or get her absentee ballot because, you know, she's at Ohio State. So, right. You know, all in all, if you look at previous elections, you know, whenever there's high voter turnout, it doesn't work well for one party over the other. I mean, you can go look at the historical numbers and figure that out for yourself. But I think you're going to have a high voter turnout, kind of like what you had in 2008.
Word.
And if that's the case, but everybody needs to go and vote. I don't care, you know, me personally, I kind of care who you vote for, but at the same time, my whole thing is there's a democratic process. There's a, you know, we're a republic. We vote for our representation. You know, more people didn't vote last year or in 2016 than, you know, if those people who didn't vote voted for third party, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Third party would have won.
No doubt.
That's the reality. That's real.
You're talking about in the midterms, right? Yeah, in the midterm election.
No, I'm talking about in the actual 2016.
Oh, you're talking about 2016. Oh, the amount of people that didn't vote. Oh, yeah.
The amount of people who did not vote, if they all voted for third party, the third party would have won.
That's real. I remember the numbers. It was about 60. I think we was at 62% overall. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
So,
Who voted. 62% voted. So if you look at that 38% that didn't vote, because that 62% that did vote pretty much split.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that leaves another 38 that didn't vote.
Yeah.
38% didn't vote. If that 38% would have voted for the third party candidate would have won.
Well, look at the last 100 years. You know, the last 100 years, the highest percentage is actually about 73%.
73, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
It drives me nuts when I hear people say voting don't matter. Because, so voting don't matter, but you don't vote. How does that work? Like, that don't make sense to me. It doesn't.
How would you know if you don't vote?
If you don't vote, exactly. That's like saying 2 + 2 = 7, man. Like, give me your math. Like, show me how that it doesn't compute, man. What's that error code you get on the computer when you programming? You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't work out. And so my whole thing is, regardless who you're voting for, like I said, I got my own personal preferences, but really, I just want, you know, the whole fabric of how this society is supposed to be built. And I understand in 1781. Not everybody could vote. Only white males who owned land, 50 acres, I believe, could actually vote back then.
Word. Yep.
But at this point in American society, everyone who is an American citizen has a right to cast their vote for the candidate that they're choosing. If you don't exercise that vote, like, I don't care if you write in a name. You could write in SpongeBob SquarePants. I don't care. Exercise your right, because if you don't participate in the process, I don't really want to hear your complaints about the process.
Well, let me ask you this question, because now that you know, like, all right, we're all viewing the vice presidential candidates. They become very important now, because both of the people that are running for president are both geriatric, basically. Being old is not the issue. It's like they both have moments of they lose clarity. So these are the two people that will actually be running the country. So this is where we are, kind of. Is America ready for this, I don't want to call it black, but a color, a person of color.
She black.
Culturally, she's black. Let's talk about it.
Let's say reality. Her daddy is from Jamaica, man.
Her granddad.
her daddy is from Jamaica.
Well, he migrated from India. He migrated from India to Jamaica.
All right, if you want to go deeper then, what tribe from India are they from?
Well, she was from the oppressed tribe. I can tell you that.
what color is that oppressed tribe?
Her color.
Okay, so you talking to an international brother with passports now. I'm just saying.
No doubt.
Let's keep it 100. Like, let's ask this question. If she was in the South in 1955, would she been able to go to a lunch counter?
Nah, she's too dark.
Okay, there we go. So let's just label her what we know her to be and what she would be treated as.
Well, we claimed her as that, but the media said she was Indian American. You know what I mean? But between us, the people.
You don't pledge, a.k.a., at Howard University, and you claiming other stuff, man. I'm just going to, like, I'm squashing all of that, man. Like,
okay. She ain't those Allen.
Do we have multicultural members in the D9? Yes, we do. But you don't go to Howard University and pledge Alpha Kappa, Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the AKAs. You don't pledge that sorority, and you're iffy on whether you want to be
I agree with you on that point. I agree she went to Howard, she did the whole thing. But.
And was a Catholic sweetheart for
it. She's just not believable, though, fam. Like, she doesn't come off as believable at all. The comments she made about Tupac and all that dumb shit, trying to show your blackness. Like, you don't have to do that. If you black, you just know you black. Just you do your, you do what you do. All of us black people are not the same.
So what I will say,
you talking about the greatest rapper alive, comment?
Hey,
you talking about that one,
hey,
bro?
Hey,
or the initial one?
Bobby Digital.
Just,
oh,
okay.
Bobby Digital, I'm with you.
All right.
Bobby Digital, I'm with you. But I would tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
How many of our more affluent brothers and sisters that we know who, you know, didn't have, shall we say, a dosage of hood upbringing,
mm-hmm.
how many of them try to over-exaggerate their credentials to fit in?
All of them.
Word.
I mean, all of them. I see it all the time.
Really,
like, I see it all the time.
But, okay, so wait, oh,
and,
so
I, and that's my problem.
Hold on, you compare her
problem,
to
though.
Them? Okay,
but that's
okay.
My problem, though, is that that's what I'm saying. You just be you. If that's who you are,
yes.
If that's who you are,
yes.
Be. You don't have to. You don't have to show your hood, because if you're not hood, you shouldn't even want to be from the hood.
Bruh.
Like, that's the problem.
Bruh.
You don't want to be from the hood. We all don't want to be from that shit, but this happened to be our circumstances.
I'm gonna give you a story, right? So you know, well, I started off going to all black schools as a kid. You know, Booked to high school. I still rep Booked to high school to this day. I moved to the burbs. I'm in my junior or senior year. I can't remember which one it is, but we go to the McDonald's after a football game. We go to the McDonald's in Warren. And anybody knows about the Northeast Ohio area, Warren High School, predominantly black area. You know what I'm saying? That was like, it was like a haven for those of us who, you know, were out there in the burbs, if you will. Like, going to Warren was like, ah, thank you. You know what I'm saying? So we go out there, right? We get out the car. We know we're going to walk into to the McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got that walk. You know, I'm a star on the football team. My man's a star on the football team. We doing our thing. And I hear these shorties distinctly say, who's them cat? Right? Like, you know, like, ooh, like, who these dudes? And then they saw, like, the name of the school on the back of my jacket. Said, oh, they just from the red. it was that quick, bro. It was that quick.
Shit.
And so we also got to acknowledge that even though some of our suburban brothers and sisters will try to over-exaggerate, some of our brothers and sisters that still, you know what I'm saying, in the community, we'll shade them too. You know what I'm saying? It's a two-way street on this.
There's definitely no doubt to that.
It's not authentic is what, like, you know how I need to feel you, right? She wore the Tims and shit. You know, like, you threw the Tims on. You came off the plane with
the Tims. The Tims out the plane walk was kind of fly, though. Y'all got
to
admit that.
I gave it to her. She had them tied up to the top, though. She had them tied up to the top.
She had that stroll, though, out the plane. She got that one.
I have no question when the cameras is off and all that shit and she's in her element, she probably is a totally, probably more believable. Because like you said, she's an AKA, she went to Howard. There's no way you going to Howard all around all them people, all around them black people, and you ain't in tune with the, I mean,
Howard around the P. Diddy era, or right before that.
That was right before that.
Howard's always been popping. So I get it. I understand. I'm just saying, you know, with the way she talks and the way she comes off, like on TV tonight. I'm trying to listen and read her and see if I can get accountability and believability from her, and I just can't. I'm just like, but you know, I get it. You're a politician. Politicians, they lie. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of times they come across as too calculating. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I think that's the perfect word. There you go, calculated. And I feel
so
like
I think the difference between her delivery and say Joe's delivery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe got that. I mean, Joe sounds like he's from Scranton. You know what I mean? You just can't help but, like, believe that, you know, good, bad, gaff, mistake, whatever. Joe gonna say what he thinking, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and like I say, you good or bad, you he has that air of, nah, this is an authentic dude right here, man. You know what I mean? And then, you know, but you look at the VP on stage, and you could just you could see him calculate. You could see the machinations in his mind, you know, working on saying on message and you know what I mean? Like so
company, man.
I think we hold sometimes I think we hold our own to a higher standard in a way unfairly that we hold everybody else. You know what I mean? In the sense that it's kinda like businesses, right? Y'all got a business and cats can automatically expect to get the hookup because y'all own the business.
Right.
And never ever do these folks be thinking to you that, you know what I'm saying, that you wouldn't go to Louis Vuitton and tell the manager LV, hey, B, you ain't got no deal for me, man? Come on, son. Hook me up, you know? Like, you won't do none of that. You know what I'm saying? So why are you holding your own folks to a higher standard than you would hold these other folks who are ripping your mouth out? You know what I mean? I just, like, sometimes that for me is kind of like, what are we doing? Are we hustling backwards? And
we're
I'm not saying she's
backwards.
Like, I'm not, no, I'm not saying
we definitely
I'm not
hustling backwards.
Saying,
we're
definitely hustling her, backwards.
Her record is complicated.
Yes,
her
it rec- is.
I will.
Yes.
Her record is complicated. It's not. It's not the she hate brothers and trying to throw us all in jail message, and it ain't the she all for us message either. But you know, if you look at it, each year prosecutions of marijuana offenses went down. That she was the AG each year. It was a drop in numbers.
I saw that.
She did try to reintroduce, you know, the legislation to reintroduce brothers who had been convicted into society to try to get them reintegrated in terms of getting jobs, things that would stop recidivism. Got to give you a good thumbs up on that effort. Like that whole thing, like prosecutors are supposed to try to put people in jail.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
That's a fact.
And I get it, like with the one case where she was fighting for the dude or fighting against the dude to get the retrial and all that. That's a bad mark. I give you that. That's a bad mark. Mm. But the overall record, would you rather go into a trial with her as the DA or Mike Pence?
I don't want nothing from Mike Pence. I don't give
a
shit.
Yeah, yeah, Mike Pence, dead man walking. Like, he
I'm
just looked
saying,
dead.
Like, if you was going to trial, which one you want as your DA?
Okay, so basically, Harris is the one that's going to hit you with the ruler and tell you why you did it wrong, but still give you the punishment.
And
Pence
is
going
to
put you away.
Most of the people she prosecuted for marijuana offenses didn't even go to jail.
Yeah, and they shouldn't. I mean, that's a whole nother topic. You know what I mean?
But I'm just saying, all I'm saying is, who's going to give you time?
So you know you're getting time with Pence.
Come on, man. You know
it's not even a question with him. Like, you know you're getting
under the bus.
So if you know you're getting time with that dude, why we hold her to a higher standard?
Nah,
I don't really get into her record because I understand, just like you just said, she's a prosecutor. Prosecutor's job is to convict people. That's how they make their living, convicting people. If they don't have a high conviction rate, they not looked at it doing their job. That's just how it works for them. So I don't get it. My problem with her is, like I said, I just can't feel her. Like, I can't get into her. I don't feel the. You know what I'm saying? It's not authentic with her. It's not organic. It seems like it's just more rehearsed. And then, you know, when she first
She'd have done at the party that's looking like she don't even want to really be at the party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you nailed it on the head. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I think she's even here out of necessity. She has to be here right now.
Right.
Because they made a bad choice, not by picking her, but by when she decided to run in the party, since it's a party decision, they didn't go with Warren. They didn't want to take the, you know, elderly white woman. They said, yo, you know, Harris, you got to come back in the fold. I don't even think she really wanted to do it, but she got to hold Joe down because Joe losing his faculties. So this is the thing I'm asking you, D-Ham. When Joe goes down and signs, let's say they do win, you know what I mean? He going to sign the 25th Amendment. Or is it the 24th? Mm-hmm. Where they got a, is it 25th? Where they got to sign off, say they're not medically capable of doing their job.
Well, the president himself don't sign off on
no,
it.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's
where,
a process.
Where Congress invokes it. Congress
yeah.
invokes it.
Is that the 25th or the 24th?
It's the 25th.
25th. So that is going to happen. So Harris would, you know, basically
listen,
be elevated.
Listen,
it's going to happen.
It don't. What did I tell you earlier? I don't know if Joe and Harris win, they're not running shit. Pelosi's running the shit. I don't give a fuck.
Shit.
That's who's running
see,
the show. That's who's going to run the
though.
Show.
Y'all really sleeping, though. Y'all sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Y'all sleeping. I'm going to tell you, but look at the Senate right now. Look at the Senate race. Because the House got power. Right? The House got some sway. But you don't get judges appointed without the Senate. You don't get nothing confirmed without the Senate.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? You know, House has oversight and all that good stuff. They can put some stuff in the public sphere. They can subpoena cats to come and talk. You know, you on C-SPAN getting aired out. Old girl with her whiteboard giving you that business. Making you look like you're a fool. I mean, but that Senate gets you your job or not.
Mm-hmm.
That gets you to be a Supreme Court judge or not. That gets you to be a one of those appointees that ain't none of them look like us or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Senate looked like it might flip too. You know, McConnell, because he's dealing with McGrath down in Kentucky, but Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. Oh,
right.
Boy, he's on it. Harris?
Yeah.
I think his name is Harris. Harrison?
Yeah,
somebody.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He is – hey, bro, that dude – he might take the Senate in South Carolina if the Senate flipped.
Didn't one of them drop out in Pennsylvania? He said he wasn't going to do it no more after the next 2 years. The cat.
I can't remember his name. I did see something to that effect.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name.
He said after.
And then I think 2 years from now, one of the Ohio Senate seats is up in the midterm. Mm. And I can tell you right now, a lot of people in Ohio is dissatisfied with old boy. That Senate is crucial.
No doubt, no doubt.
You got to remember, Obama lost the Congress in 2010 in the
mm-hmm.
midterm.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, Pelosi, I would say this about Pelosi. Because there's times I'm looking at Pelosi like, really? Really?
Yeah, like, exactly, this, yeah.
But she is a, there's been times where I looked at her like, oh, she's tenacity right there. That's, she playing chess. And Cass is still playing like tiddlywinks or something, man. Because she made some power moves that I was like, oh, I didn't see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was being emotional in my response to the move on the front side, and she hit you with that backside counter reverse, and it's like, oh. So, you know, but my issue with the two party system is this, man.
It's a tough one.
Folks got to build that. They got to build that third, fourth party.
Yeah.
You know, whoever else is going to be viable, they got to build it at the grassroots level. And saying this probably get me on somebody's watch list, but
oh, we already there, man. Yeah, don't worry about it.
What does the down ballot say? You know what I mean? Like, who's running for your county sheriff? Who's running for your board of electors? Who's running for your county administrator, your aldermans, your city councils, your school boards? It takes a grassroots effort. You can't just come on the national scene every presidential year and be like, hey, I got this Green Party candidate for president. It don't work like that, yo.
Word.
You ain't built up no name brand recognition.
I'm glad you brought that up.
You trying to come in like you Aldi. But by the way, Aldi has built name brand recognition, but you're trying to come in like Aldi, you know, 25, 26 years ago. It's like, man, I ain't going to get my groceries at Aldi. You know what I mean?
Word. Okay.
Sure, yeah.
That's a good analogy
you know
right there.
Yeah,
no
but,
doubt, no
but,
doubt.
But Aldi wasn't trying to be the biggest grocery store in the United States at that point in time either. They just getting their foot in the door.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now... You know, Aldi has a bigger name brand recognition. Cats know that they can get some quality groceries from there for the low low. Yeah, yep. You ain't gonna get sugar smacks. You gonna get some corn pops. You ain't getting you know what I mean. You ain't, but it's the same cereal, you know. So the third party's gotta work on their grassroots game, man. They gotta work on getting that name brand recognition at the local level and building a following that way. Because that coming on the scene every 4 years at the national level, ain't nobody hearing that, man. For real. Like, I mean, yeah. It's a de facto vote for, quote unquote, the other guy. You know, everybody says it.
But it's a de facto vote for both sides because it don't count. Because it's not going towards the greater. You know, like, because both the Democrats and the Republicans, they got it on lock. But most of the people are really independents when it comes down to it. It's like we're being forced to kind of choose one over the other. You know what I mean? But
most people are center left, center right.
Yeah.
That's where like 80% of the American population resides, center left, center right. And then you got 10% on the other side, you know, the far left, far right. That's basically America in a nutshell, right? Mm-hmm. And so each side is trying to, you know, the two parties, showing the Republicans and the Democrats, are trying to show the people in the center left, center right, that we ain't the far left or the far right people, right? So the Republican, except for kind of now, the Republicans are kind of embracing some of that far right stuff. But if you look at it, you know, Obamacare, for example, a lot of people forget that the ACA, the American Affordable Health Care Plan, or the Affordable Health Care Plan, I'm sorry, was the Republicans' response to Hillary Clinton's health care plan back in 92.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Hillary Clinton came out with her health care plan, because remember, Bill put her on the health care commission.
Yep.
She comes out with a plan. The Republicans countered with mandates and all this other stuff, right? Boom, Obamacare. He basically repackaged Hillary Clinton, or not Hillary Clinton, he repackaged the Republican plan from 92, and the Republicans ran away from their own plan.
Yeah, gave it back to them.
Which is crazy. So we're actually been pulled far. We've been pulled further right than left. Be honest.
So
with
how strong?
There's not a lot of difference between Reagan and Obama if you look at policy.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because when you have this conversation with, you know, with other people, you know, on your level, below your level,
mm-hmm.
and you bring up the fact that, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans historically have just kind of like swapped places, you know, for black people, because black people were basically Republicans because we couldn't be Democrats because we didn't own that land. We weren't slave owners and things like that. And now,
well,
you know, you fast forward.
The South was Dixiecrat land. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you go and you flip-flop later on, 150 years later, nobody that's, you know, alive right now, unless you dig into history, will know, like, oh, black people were really like Republicans. And now you know why. You know, and all these documentaries are popping up, and it's confusing. So,
well, you got to go back to, like, when you start talking about Party of Lincoln. Well, you have to look at the Republicans of that era. You know, there was a faction of the Republican Party that were considered, they were called the Radical Republicans.
Yep.
They were on the hand, like those were the Republicans who was, like, you know, the Confederacy, hang them. Hang them, hang them, hang them, hang them, and give full rights and you can't tell me that the GOP is there still in 2020. That's not their platform. So to try to claim that, you know, we're the party that did this, that, and the third, yeah, name you are, but and I'm not saying that the Democrats are what they were in name.
No doubt. That's what I mean.
Things
have changed.
You can't claim
flipped.
That legacy when you're not playing to that legacy.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And like I was telling my youngest, me and him were watching the, in fact, before the debates, we were watching that documentary or the TV show, I'm sorry, Turn on Netflix, where they were about the spies during the Revolutionary War.
True.
And I was talking to him about, you know, studying history, you know, even in dramatized version, it at least gives you a starting point to go and do your own research to get the quote unquote real information, if you will, whatnot, and how, you know, folks who don't dive into history are doomed to repeat those mistakes that were made, or think that what they're living is some new stuff, which, you know, like none of this stuff is really new. It's just, you know, packaged in a different label. You know, all that said, you know, when I look at these parties, man, you know, the founding fathers warned against a two-party system.
Exactly. You know,
They said that, you know, and if you look at most of your European nations, and I'm not trying to say, because when you say Europe, everybody goes, oh, you trying to bring socialism, whatever.
Yo, that's a crazy narrative that they got out there.
You know, I got passport stamps missing me. I actually seen these places firsthand. with Europe, because they have multiple parties in most of their government, you have to agree or you have to compromise for the good governance of the nation. And so you can't just be on some, oh, that's, you know, we're going to hold all. No, bro, you got to build coalitions. You got to build agreement amongst many folks, many different beliefs. And when you have two sides, man, Matt, like your boy, what's the dude on the Comedy Network?
On Comedy
South
Network?
African, yeah, the South African dude who got the talk show.
Oh,
Noah.
Like he said, imagine if there was only two sports teams.
Wow. Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay. There's only two NBA teams, man. You know what I mean? Like, imagine what that would be like. You know what I mean? Like there's only Lakers and Celtics. Man, Cavs
would
be killing
them.
Yeah,
true.
And so it's the same thing when it comes to, in my opinion, when it comes to governance. Like, I don't agree with everything that, say, the Democratic Party says. I don't agree with everything that the Republican Party says. There's some things that come out of the GOP platform that does make sense if you're talking about fiscal responsibility. Some things do make sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things in the Democratic platform that you're like, that don't make no sense at all. But you know, the way we've structured our system, you've kind of been forced into those two bags because the third, fourth parties, whatever you want to call them, haven't done grassroots work to become viable at the local level. You got to go local.
That's where we come in. I mean, because now we're at the age of, you know, we are the elders or transitioning into being elders. So it's on us to kind of, you know, what's the word they use now? Pay it forward, even though I'm saying
go
backwards.
I'm just telling you right now, I ain't running off.
No, I joke around about it. I'm going to be honest, man. I'm not built for the mudsling because if you can't do what they did last week, that can't go down like that. You're not going to
I'm just saying if I had to do it, I couldn't do it the way they do it. I'd have to be like, yo, anything you want to say bad about me, F it. Take it as true. And now we're going to move forward. Like I couldn't debate on at, you know, I'm like, to be honest with you, that's the genius of Trump, mm-hmm. of the current, you know, of the incumbent. The genius of him is, I did all that shit. What you going to do about it?
Yeah, he don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just really don't. But, I mean, yeah.
Matter of fact, I didn't do it. Now what? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're right. I didn't do that. That's not what I said. You know, that's not what I meant. You know, yeah, he will really spin it. So, you know, politics is a whole other game. You know what I mean? But worthy of discussion because we got to live under that microscope. You know, whether we like
it
or not,
you would have to come at it. I think, like I mean, let's face it too. Like somebody, you know, you'd have to got to start early with some folks, man. Like before, you know, especially in this age of social media, because everybody got something that they don't put out there on Facebook or Instagram or something that they don't want people to know about. But the goodness of it, too, though, is that you're dealing with a younger generation of folks who's been doing all of this. So, like, they're probably more empathetic to the fact that, you know, she was on Instagram with her tongue out talking about, you know, demonstrating how you do the thing with a beer bottle. So, everybody did. You know what I mean? Like,
it was a challenge last week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, with the younger generation, I don't think that would be an issue. It's the older generation who is more traditional, more into those, honestly, that British model of discretion. I mean, you know, a lot of what we have comes from that British model
a lot of you don't say
what you mean openly and all that other good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if you watch the British shows, especially the British historical shows, man,
they go in.
You see some skullduggery, bro.
You see some skullduggery.
Nobody tells you that, you know, poker face. You don't know what I'm thinking. I'm cutting you with polite words, and unless you really know what I'm saying, you don't even realize you've been cut up. Like, it's crazy, man. You sit there and you watch it. And, the military with the officer side of the house, a lot of it is built off that British model. As well, and so you'll be in these meetings, man, and I've watched some commanders carve some cats up, man. They ain't even realize they got cut up, yo, because they wasn't paying attention to the word usage and the nuance. Like, it's like, bruh, you might want to find a new job, because right
new
now
career,
this
right? you in too deep for real.
and they don't even realize it, and so but here's the thing with these younger folks, none of that matters.
Right. So then that's what we got to reach then. We got to get you on the Saturday, one of the Saturday segments when we do the law, history, politics.
Yeah, we definitely want to get you on.
Yeah, you got to get you on because you know what? Because you got a depth of knowledge that we can all, you know, build off of. Like, we all, because me and Bobby could talk all day, but they like, oh, them motherfuckers are talking that shit. But when you hear other people come in and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, they're saying the same thing, basically. Yeah, so you can see, like, it ain't just me and him talking that shit. Like, this is really going on. And you got career professionals who just did that. For decades,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So we need that.
It's what we talked about, behind the closed doors and whatnot. Like I'm not a fan of people who have no plans but want to tear down what exists without the capability to build something in its place. And, you know, structurally speaking, just from structure and theory of government, having traveled around the world, there's no government in the world that operates with our theory. You know, government of the people, by the people, for the people.
Right, right.
That doesn't exist anywhere else. Like, you might be able to go there and chill, but you're only able to chill because you operate within specified confines of behavior. And decorum.
Word.
You know what I mean? Like,
you have an area.
As much as I enjoy being in Saudi Arabia, the minute I would have been on, because like all of the phones over there, when you're on their phone system, you being monitored by their intelligence service. And I don't mean what we think of as monitoring. I mean you being actively monitored. Like, so if somebody even mentions that they thinking of some type of terroristic activity, for example, that cat getting snatched up. Him, his friends, his family, the whole nine, all of them getting snatched up. We ain't giving you no due process. We going to see if you was really about that life.
Yeah, we got that here, too, but on the download. They got Chicago for that.
Bruh, we do not have it like that. Trust me.
Well, not on the books. They live in it, though.
that's legal. You know
it's illegal, but you know
we
it goes
have
on.
It on some court. All right, so we had COINTELPRO. We know COINTELPRO is supposed to be illegal. The fact
that was in our face, though. That was up top.
I got you. it wasn't in our face. Because actually, at the time of COINTELPRO, it wasn't out known. We got COINTELPRO information like 20 years later.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, like, you know, in 2018, you know, like when I was older, in 2018, you know that the government services is monitoring all telecommunications, and the minute you get out of pocket, you getting snatched up. Period.
No doubt. No doubt.
Period. Like, you can't even say, man, NBS full of shit. Uh-uh. Snatched up. What you got to say about the French? You lost your mind? You saw what they did to old boy in the embassy.
I did.
In another country. They didn't do that in Saudi Arabia. That's on another country. And they bodied old boy.
Well, then, that, you know, that's politics. That's global politics. You know, got to know what you say, know where you at.
All I'm saying is our framework, the amount of dissension that we've had over the last 2 years or even the last 6-7 months with the protests and all that, that don't exist other places, man. It just it do, but it don't. Like even if you look at China, all right, we're going to let you act like you want to say some stuff for about 2 weeks. And then we shutting it down. We bringing in the military. We killing all of this. This is Tiananmen Square. How long did Tiananmen Square last? 2 weeks.
How long? So maybe a week.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, old boy.
Yeah, but something like that.
Hey, 1 week, old boy was standing in front of the tank, and everybody was like, "Yeah." Next week, that square was cleared.
No doubt.
And so, what I'm saying that to say is, we have a framework. As in, what's the word I'm looking for? As imperfect as it is, as much as it needs constant overwatch, constant participation, constant pressure from the from the people, because really the people, you know, once we get complacent, the government does what it wants to do. But if you're really a government of the people and the people are engaged in the politics, people are educated. And that's one of the things I loved about being in Europe. Them some educated folks over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all of them speak three languages. Compulsory. They learn to speak three languages. So they speak in English, their native language, and another language on top of that.
True.
You know what I mean? So, but, like I told my son, if you don't have intellectual curiosity, I don't give, you know, you talking to me about some video games, but you can't tell me how a combustible engine works.
You hitting them in the head, man.
I'm saying, like you telling me all the ins and outs of Fortnite, but you can't tell me how to change the oil or how the engine or how a transmission takes the energy from the engine and allows that to work in a vehicle to allow that vehicle to be in motion.
I got a better one for you. Why he playing Fortnite? Give him a lay out a strategic plan and see if he can execute it with his online friends, since they be talking that shit.
Bruh, I'm telling you, we were watching the show, and he saw some skullduggery take place in real, like as we were watching the show, like. Old dude gave old girl, this is what I want us to do. They almost get busted, but while she talking to the dude that was really, like, the enemy, she dropping jewels so that the dude can, he knows, okay, she on my team. But then, in her dropping her jewels, she gets the enemy to give up intelligence. While dude's sitting there in the cut listening. My son's mind was blown. His mind was blown. I was like, bruh, skullduggery, bruh. You don't get skullduggery from a video game, B. You don't get skullduggery from a video game. You have to have intellectual curiosity. You know what I mean?
That's
you got to want to know. You got to want to know stuff you don't know. You got to want to know stuff you don't know. And the more stuff you know, the more you know you don't know stuff.
Yeah,
so you
is.
Keep wanting to know more stuff. You know what I'm saying? You ain't getting that from no video game, man. You ain't going to tell me that, you know, clicking them keys on 2K, whatever we on now. I mean, I got a PlayStation 4 downstairs. You know, I don't think I played it, though, since March. But, you know, I'm not anti-video games. What I'm saying, though, is that the video game life can't outweigh your intellectual curiosity.
It damn sure can't.
Damn.
You know what I mean?
That's, you know, you say that again. That's a drop right there. Repeat that sentence.
The video game life cannot outweigh your intellectual curiosity. However you would define success. If you define success as, you know, this type of house, this type of car, this type of a means to take care of my family, this ability to go on, you know, X vacations per year, whatever you want to label your success at. Now, if you want to label your success as I can come home from work and play video games all night, fine. But what's your gift back to society?
Well, that's a good, you know what? That's the question that you said. That's a framework question we could have for the youth, because, you know, that's the world that they are being consumed in, where that was a part of our life. That's mostly their life. Like this telecommunications phase, like the Zoom, and we was introduced to all of this, you know, maybe 25, 30 years ago. Like the Jetsons told us that we was going to get here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we live in it. Like they're growing
They had Zoom on the Jetsons back in 67, 68 when it
this
came on.
This is what I'm saying. Like, they let you know what time it is. I tell you how ingenious. It's two things. Either they was ingenious or they was letting us know what time it was, and this technology been out here. But you can't. I can't even imagine the level of surveillance, you know, whether it's good or bad in people's opinion. I couldn't imagine it like this out in the open in the 1970s. Like, that would have been too much. With what was going on, so you know, like it would have been crazy, you know. But yo, brother DM, like I said, we gonna get you on a Saturday. I'm glad you came on. Chop it up with the brothers, cause me and Bobby May gonna finish out the segment.